Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And football fans, DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you'll get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. So download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code KSN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. That's code KSN only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm with Greg Pickles, so that means this is Ask Greg. I'll ask you the first question, Greg. Super Bowl matchup coming up. Who do you like? Where's your money going to be?
Man, I'll tell you what, Jim. I have a hard time going against Patrick Mahomes, but I have enjoyed watching Tom Brady and this Bucks team go through the playoffs, so I am torn. Let me say this. If you can get 3.5, I would take the Bucks plus 3.5. If you can get 2.5, I would take the Chiefs minus 2.5. So I think it would be a bit of price shopping on my side of things, Jim, to see how it all shakes out in the end.
Remember, you could go to your DraftKings app, use code KSN to get your account, place your Super Bowl wagers. I think I like Mahomes in Kansas City, even at 3.5, Greg. All right, let's get going with our questions. Are you ready, sir?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with Steve from Chicago. He says, Greg and Jim, I would like your take on the Bill O'Brien move to Alabama as offensive coordinator. Seems like a step back based on all his NFL experience, unless he's planning to become the next Alabama head coach.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that becoming the next Alabama head coach is going to happen. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know. But, you know, I don't really think Nick Saban's going anywhere. My thought process is look at all of the guys who have been Alabama's offensive coordinator and then going on to get bigger or better jobs after kind of flaming out as a head coach somewhere else. I mean, it is pretty incredible the number of guys that have turned into head coaches again following their time under Nick Saban. I think they call it the Nick Saban car wash down there, and it's true. It's as true as it could be. So I think it makes a lot of sense. I think that NFL circles probably were a little bit leery of hiring him after, you know, seeing how things ended in Houston. He obviously appears to be a guy who wants to have control of the offense and the roster and obviously the game day decisions when he's the head coach. And that's a lot to take on. So I'm not sure how many suitors he was going to have at the NFL level to continue being a head coach. You know, maybe he could have got a head coaching job at the at the college level, but maybe he doesn't want to do that right now. Maybe he does want to just return to being an assistant coach. And, you know, again, they have had such incredible success with bringing a coordinator or two in down there every couple of years and turning them guys into head coaches. So I think for Bill, I wouldn't call it a step back. I think it's a step forward in the sense that it's going to help him get back to where he wants to be sooner rather than later.
Greg, when he was at Penn State, it really felt like he was here to get his head coaching experience, get his ticket punched back to the NFL as a head coach there. Does being an offensive coordinator at Alabama help him become a head coach in the NFL again, or is he looking at a head coach job at college?
I would have to think the NFL. I don't think he is the world's I have a hard time believing he's the world's biggest fan of recruiting and everything that goes into it. But see, that's the great thing about Alabama. How I'm not saying you can completely, be lackadaisical trying to recruit at Alabama, Jim, but you certainly have a product that sells itself. And as long as your offense doesn't flame out on the field or your defense doesn't give up, 60 points a game or anything like that, you're going to have no problem convincing top players across the country to come play for you or come visit your school once those are allowed again and everything else that goes with it. And then once those kids get to campus, O'Brien can sit in the film room with him and do what he does best, which is get in front of these kids in person and really showcase what his offense can do to help you get to the NFL. So to me, I don't think he wants to go to a school where he's going to have to really get back into the nitty-gritty of recruiting. Maybe I am 100% wrong about that. But, to me, Jim, I think that this is a place that sells itself. He'll have to do some recruiting, but certainly not as much as you would elsewhere that he had to do at Penn State. But yeah, to me, he's probably he's probably more suited for a career in the NFL long term. But again, the quickest path to get there might just be doing what he's doing right now by coming to Alabama.
All right. Next up is Dorian from Charlotte, North Carolina, via Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Dorian says, now with Mike Yurcich, do you think Penn State has their eye on the Ohio State quarterback battle? They all committed to him at Ohio State. What are the chances the odd man out ends up at Penn State? First of all, I'm not quite sure that they all committed to him there, but he may have had his eye on these quarterbacks prior to them committing. What do you think, Greg?
Well, just in a general sense, I mean, here's kind of the concern about trying to project that is that, let's think back to when Kirk Soraka got here, Jim. Didn't we all think that there was a decent chance that he would either be able to bring Tanner Morgan with him or flip the recruit that he had recruited to, the quarterback that he had recruited to Minnesota? At least for me, I thought one of those two things were going to happen, and guess what? Neither did. And, we've seen, Jawan Sider's probably the best example of being able to come here with past connections and turn those into Penn State commitments. But, Phil Troutwine, for example, I think of Drew Kendall, the offensive lineman who was committed or either heavily favored to go to Boston College or committed to Boston College in this cycle. And I had just assumed that Phil Troutwine would be able to get him to come to Penn State. That didn't happen. So I guess what I'm saying is that it seems easy to say new coach has connections, maybe got commitments from guys, maybe had offers out to a lot of guys, can land them at the new school. And it just doesn't always work out that way. In fact, it feels like it almost never does.
Well, let's look at it the opposite way from the Ohio State perspective. The names, I looked it up in 2020, they recruited C.J. Stroud and Jack Miller, both four-star quarterbacks. The class of 21, the most recent one, the incoming class, Kyle McCord is the five-star quarterback out of Pennsylvania. Whether, Yurcich has a direct connection to these guys or not, the fact is all three of these players have freshman eligibility.
Right.
They're all highly ranked. Can you see those three guys all lasting at Ohio State, or do you see at least one or perhaps even two of them transferring soon once the pecking order is defined?
I certainly could see that. Yeah, and see, that goes back to the same conversation we had recently about Micah Bowens. And, again, in a place like Penn State, James Franklin has said he wants to have five scholarship quarterbacks on his team at any given time. And I have a feeling that Ryan Day and many other head coaches across not just the Big Ten but the country feel the same way. But to the point you just made, Jim, or to the point of what we saw Micah Bowens do, what did Micah Bowens say to The Athletic? He said he was leaving because, in part, they only had two scholarship quarterbacks down there, and it was a little bit more appealing to Penn State's room. It has obviously five at the moment, or at least five before he left, and possibly six if they go out and get a transfer. So I think you're always going to see guys move around. And frankly, when you look at what Ohio State has recruited there, they are in a place where they're probably going to run into a logjam sooner rather than later. The question just would be, if those kids want to leave, do they think Penn State's the best fit for them? And that's obviously a question that we won't know the answer to until it would come up. But yeah, I mean, it's not just, every job. So I guess let me put it this way. Now with the transfer portal being the way it is, and we've talked about this before, Jim, how coverage of recruiting is changing, how following of recruiting is changing. And let me just say this, if Penn State offered a quarterback, And it comes to find that, you know, we find out he didn't win the job, or he's going to be stuck behind a guy who transferred in or whatever, and he's looking to move on. I mean, you're always going to want to keep those quarterback offers in the back of your mind, because you have no clue when one of those guys might decide he wants to move on and consider Penn State differently than he did before. And the same thing with Penn State, Jim. You might get a guy who comes here and thinks he's going to be able to play right away, and after two or three seasons, he can't. He wants to move on. He wants to find a more favorable place to go. And so he moves on. And so, yeah, the transfer portal, yeah, we've always seen transferring quarterbacks, but we're about to see it like never before here moving forward.
And just to add to the whole Ohio State conversation, I mentioned they have three very highly regarded quarterbacks, all with freshman eligibility. By the way, in the 2022 class, again, it's not signed and sealed, but they have a commitment from the number one quarterback in the country. So talk about a lot of the rich getting richer. That's what you have there. All right, next up, let's go with Dave from Lehigh Valley. Dave says, Dotson, Parker Washington, and Lambert Smith are the top three wide receivers. With the transfer of Jones, who do you anticipate will be the next most productive wide receiver after those three? Do you think it's Daniel George, Cam Sullivan Brown, or someone else?
Yeah, we didn't even get to Jones in our first segment, the transfer portal talk, but yeah, so obviously Penn State at one point had super high hopes for those two Florida receivers, John Dunmore and TJ Jones, to become impact players, and both end up hitting the transfer portal before the 2021 season. So yeah, that changes the outlook there. How about we go with another option, Jim? And but there's just something that tells me that one of Liam Clifford and the baseball player, Lonnie White Jr., you know, who obviously is going to play baseball and football in college, you know, at Penn State, one of those two guys are going to explode on the scene. I think my money would be on Lonnie White to do it. So let me put him as the answer to that question, Jim. I would love to say Daniel George, or I would love to say Cam Sullivan Brown, two veterans who have obviously been at Penn State for quite some time, but at some point, you just start to wonder if it's ever going to completely click together. And I just don't know if that's going to be the case.
And one question for you. You mentioned Lonnie White. He does play baseball. I've seen a couple places where he was forecast to be a first-round pick for baseball.
Yeah.
Have we really got a firm commitment that he is going to play football at Penn State versus, gee, if he's highly drafted, he might just choose the baseball route?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. That's something we're going to have to keep an eye on. I mean, from everything I've read and heard and seen, I think it's – I like Penn State's chances, Jim, really I do, of being able to get him to stay no matter where he gets picked. But certainly, if he gets selected in the first round, that money is going to be pretty eye-opening, so perhaps he'll just go that way. Yeah, it's not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's leaning in Penn State's favor, but certainly that's something we got to watch here over the next few weeks and months.
I'm rooting for him to come to Penn State. I want him to see play wide receiver, but my goodness, if he's a first-round baseball player, boy, that would be a lot of money to turn down. That's it for quarter number three, and Ask Greg. We'll name our winner when we get to quarter number four. Stay tuned.
DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you have to do is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. Download the DraftKings app now and use code KSN. That's code KSN only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.